I could talk about industrialization and men's fashions all day, but I'm afraid work must intrude, and my associate here has some questions for you.
Hey, Mark.
Yes, Wes.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
That's great.
Who am I? I'm not just Mark. I'm the world famous Mark Bernay.
The worldwide famous Mark
yes,
Bernay.
Yes.
And who am I, Mark?
You're just Wes.
That's pretty much it.
We have a guest.
We have a guest. A very special guest.
Well, we don't have a microphone for our guest.
No, we don't.
So he's going to have to yell really loudly.
He's going to have to yell and hit us over the head whenever we say nasty comments about him or you know, fail to tell the truth or whatever.
Right.
This happens to be a very special guest because it's my father.
Okay.
It's my dad.
Okay.
We call him Bluto.
And he was in the computer industry.
He goes, he's Yep. And he's got his girlfriend's name is Olive Oil.
Okay, and he has a computer background?
He does have a computer background.
Yes, good, good.
How much of your personal life do you want to share with the millions of people out there that listen to our show?
Remember, yelling and screaming in the microphone.
Or I can hand it to him, I guess.
Oh, that's true.
Here, wait. Yeah, I think it's appropriate if I hand the mic to you.
Okay.
I'm not about to share any of my personal life.
Okay.
Excellent. That's appropriate.
Okay.
That's good.
Well, when you hear more about the show, what kind of show it is, maybe you'll be willing to. I don't know. You know. For example, I have a really great item, Wes.
What, really, Mark?
Yeah. And see, part of the thing, this show is called Slurpcast.
Right.
Because we record the show while eating dinner and our food.
Like
I don't
this.
Have any, I don't have any food to slurp right now. And then we also make a blog entry behind each podcast that gives all the details. So if we talk about something, you can go to the blog entry and there'll be a URL and more details.
Yeah, all the work
and stuff.
All the work.
And just it says slurpcast.com.
Yeah, www.slurpcast.com. All of the work that Mark and I put into our stories during the week, we actually show as links on the website when we release a new show.
Right.
So people can come along and actually like read the article, click the link, and then get taken to the original article that we
found.
Thank you. So where are we today, Mark?
So we're, well, in honor of Windows 7 launch day, because we're doing this on October
the 22nd.
Yeah, we're at a store, we're at a restaurant with a very relevant name.
Very relevant.
It's the Hotel Mac, because Macs can run Windows 7 too.
That's it.
So
we have to see. Isn't that great?
This is in Point Richmond, California.
Point Richmond, California, though.
Right.
In the artsy area of Richmond.
Okay. Okay.
Richmond has a high.
All right,
man. Try it again.
Oh, thank you. Hey, try it again? Oh,
yeah.
He wants me to try it again? I spilled, before the microphones came on, I had knocked my entire Arnold Palmer off the table so cleanly that nothing got on my clothing or barely any on the table.
And
really just on the floor.
You got to stir it
up. So he just brought me a new one and told me to try again. So does he mean that I should see if I can be as clean this time as I was last time?
You didn't do it right the first time, so he wants you to try again.
I know.
All right.
At least I have something to slurp,
Oh, there you go. Go ahead and slurp.
So I have an item to encourage people to go to the website.
It's me naked.
No.
Oh.
No, there's a dog treat.
Not me naked.
There's a dog treat
that's
made out of something that's 100% something it's made out of. It's not a tendon and not processed meat strips, but it's dried, lightly smoked, or natural flavor and delivered to your door. And if you go to slurpcast.com, we'll point you to the website for this product so you can see exactly what it is that's 100% made out of.
It's made...
Do you want to take guesses?
Is it smooth? Is it smooth as runny dog?
No.
Is it
the pictures, it's hard to tell.
Is it feces?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
That's not nice.
I know.
Yeah,
but the show is not nice.
I know.
The show is explicit.
I'll show you. I'll show just you what it is.
What?
I know. Isn't that worth people going to our website and see what it is?
Really?
Yes.
Somebody collects those things?
I guess. Well, they kill millions of those things per day.
Okay.
You know,
that's probably true.
So
100%, huh?
Yes.
Nice. All right.
Anyway.
Okay. If you eat those, by the way, does that mean you're... Can you be a vegetarian and eat those? No.
No, probably not. All right. No, I don't think so. No.
Okay.
So, we're giving clues. You should be giving people clues.
That's true. Hmm. All right, so... I have a quick story, and this brings will bring back memories for anybody who's ever dealt with an old PC.
Okay.
There used to be an architecture that was created that became became a huge standard. It's the industry standard architecture. In practice, it was always shortened to ISA. This was a computer bus standard for IBM-compatible computers. And the reason why I bring it up is because it's one of the longest-lasting architectures for hardware devices.
And the original IBM PC had that, and then IBM donated that to the public domain to let people clone it, which was a big mistake.
That's what a lot of people talk about. Because anybody could manufacture or make cards that would go into the ISA slot in your computer.
They probably figured that's all that would happen.
Royalties. They didn't have to pay license
fees. They probably figured that's all that would happen, that people would make cards. But then all of a sudden people started cloning the entire computer very quickly. They probably weren't expecting that to happen.
Was that something that led to the...
The compacts and stuff.
Okay.
The fact that it was all standardized and IBM did not claim any intellectual property in it is what led to all the clones coming out so immediately, yes.
Well, we went from ISA to the PS2's microchannel architecture.
And that they did that partly because it's better.
And it backfired completely.
Yeah, but partly because it's better and partly for the intellectual property because they decided they did want to control PCs after all. And that's why they did that one, yeah. Mm-hmm. But just no one ever bought it.
Well, they charged a hefty licensing fee for anybody who wanted to manufacture any kind of a microchannel card.
Yeah, there are just too many clones out at that point, so there's no justification for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the next one after microchannel?
One that's out now, yeah, I can't remember the name of it.
I hardly...
Go to slurpcast.com if you don't know. I'm sure you all know and are wondering why we can't remember it. But,
yeah. Because it's just there.
Right. PCI.
PCI. There you go. Okay. That's it. Yeah. Good one.
Okay.
I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
All right, hit me with another one.
So there's a new book reader that's blowing away, not that it's actually shipping yet, but everyone thinks it's going to blow away the Kindle. And it's by Barnes & Noble.
Oh, man. Okay.
And it's called the Nook. N-O-O-K book reader.
The Nuke or the Nook?
Nook.
It's going to
You automatically get Nooky if you use it.
Do
if you?
You
buy it, yeah.
Awesome.
You get a certificate with it for that.
Yeah. You've got a family. You can redeem those certificates
at your nearest
Starbucks.
What's his dad is complaining right now? I'm not sure why.
My dad.
Yeah.
My dad's not ready for the kind of language that I'm about to.
Wait,
spew
wait till we get to the part of the show where we explain why iPhones are better than BlackBerries.
Oh wait! No, wait till we go through the applications.
Oh, that's right.
My dad's never heard those before.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Mark is really good at finding excellent applications for the iPhone.
Right.
I see.
Right. So anyway, so we have this Nook, which is partly a screen like the Kindle and the Sony Book Reader.
Right.
Partly it's what's it called? Just that paper e-ink. Yeah, e-ink thing.
Right.
Yeah, but mainly it's that. But it has a little color LCD screen down at the bottom,
right,
where you can type on. It has no keyboard like the Kindle, but it has a virtual keyboard that comes up from that bottom thing.
And it's touch sensitive. I didn't know that was touch sensitive.
As far as I know, I haven't actually seen a picture showing a keyboard popping up on it.
Okay,
but as far as I understand, you can definitely give commands on a keyboard, and it's got to be a soft thing like that. There's no hard keys anywhere at all. No, absolutely not. No. Maybe one or two buttons. Maybe buttons or something. But so, yeah, it's not really out yet, so it's all speculative.
No, you can buy them now. You can buy them on their website.
Okay, but as far as I know, it absolutely has a pop-up keypad.
Okay.
It's about the same price as the Kindle.
Yeah.
And from my experience, at least a couple of books I've tried to buy.
And it has WhisperNet, or a WhisperNet.
It does that, yeah. It does.
So no matter where you are, you
can
download.
Same as the Kindle. Doesn't it use AT&T? In the United States, it uses AT&T, so it's more compatible with the rest of the world.
Okay.
Because it is a GSM device inherently, whereas the Kindle, the CDMA, I mean, they had to come out with a different version for international.
Okay. It does. So,
yeah. So, but the Nook, you can download books over the...
So, is it coincidence that Kindle comes out with a new version last week that is international?
Maybe, to compete with us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's the same,
and I'm guessing that Kindle version is GSM.
Yeah, so, I don't know. Yeah, it must be. It has
They're
to be.
They're sold in the CDMA and the rest of the world.
So Kindle came out with a brand new model of their ebook reader that The best feature of the Kindle was that you could browse the Amazon store for books and download them within seconds to your device.
All wirelessly and no monthly charges. You have to buy the book, but you don't have to pay for the cellular phone usage of its modem.
And there are free things you can subscribe to, articles, newspapers that are published for free, and they arrive in your device automatically. So when you get up in the morning, you just simply read your newspaper of choice. But now there's competition. Sony and now Barnes & Noble offer their own ebook readers with the same functionality as the Kindle.
Right. And from my experience, Barnes & Noble actually has more ebooks downloadable.
This is what I'm told.
Because both of them have an iPhone app. I wouldn't personally buy either of these readers, because what's the point? I already have the software on my iPhone that can read those same books.
Yeah.
Except maybe smaller screen and less battery life, because the e-ink has kind of infinite battery life. But other than that, but I've tried to buy books before from the Kindle store, and Barnes & Noble had them that the Kindle store did not.
Wow.
So I think that's why there's another reason this might be a very big deal.
Okay.
But on the other hand, wasn't everyone saying that the Barnes & Noble device would be the Plastic Logic device? Maybe Plastic Logic has a color panel.
What's Plastic Logic?
If you listen to one of the Slurpcasts, one of our old Slurpcasts, we had an episode about Plastic Logic, actually.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Wes and Mark talked about it a lot.
Wes and Mark talked about it?
Yeah, yes.
Refresh my memory.
Okay. No, it's a Plastic Logic is a company, I think, in England that makes color flat panels that are really thin, really flexible. Pretty low power.
The Wired magazine with the Plastic Logic.
So it dawns on me as we're talking about this right now. It dawns on me the Barnes and Noble Reader has been rumored for months to be a Plastic Logic device.
Okay.
And yet now that it comes out, the top half looks like typical e-ink, like everybody else.
Yeah.
So I bet that little panel on the bottom is Plastic Logic, rather than a typical iPhone-like color screen.
Interesting.
I bet you.
Okay. We got burgers.
Okay.
We've got the avocado first.
Okay, thank you.
Cheese, avocado, garlic bread.
Great, thanks.
Blue cheese with the bacon and garlic bread.
I should have asked for 10 times more garlic.
You got an onion ring there, Mark.
Okay. But I should have asked for 10 times more garlic.
Yeah. I do smell the garlic, though.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you can. Are we offline?
No, we're still recording.
Okay.
Awesome. Thank you.
All the restaurant noises.
I'll pull over anything else for you.
I'm good.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
No, all the restaurant noises are the best part of the show, so we don't cut those out. No. It's like my dinner with Andre, where, oh my God, look at that. They're having the waiter come over and stuff. And however, if you saw that movie, wasn't that surprising that they actually did that in the middle of the movie and stuff? So we kind of copy that in a way.
We copy somebody? What?
And then we copy Leo Laporte, don't we? And
we talk about other podcasts that we listen to during the week.
Our influences.
Right. We look up to people in the industry. People who are both doing better than us and making more money.
I know. Right now, I don't have that much more information about the Nook yet until people actually get it to their hands. And there are reviews of it. There's really no. I haven't seen anything hands-on with it yet. But it is supposedly shipping, but who knows?
If you think about the stability of the two different companies, you might think that, Amazon's been around for a while, but in reality, Barnes & Noble has been there a lot longer.
Yeah, But Barnes & Noble, though, tried to do ebooks many years ago and dropped it, and now they're back. Now they're back doing it again for real.
Okay.
So
do I have to tell another article now?
No. Sure. My ketchup bottle is empty.
We have to hit it.
I think it's probably kind of empty, though.
Really?
All
right, let's see here. Okay, so here's a guy that I wanted to bring up just because his name is really funny.
Okay.
And he has a significant place in history.
Okay.
Thank you. And he's a sir. His name is Sir Alan Michael Sugar. He was born on the 24th of March.
He's the inventor of sugar. He's the inventor of sugar? Wow, I was always wondering where I got that name from.
He was born on the 24th of March in 1947 in
1947?
Hackney.
Need some more ketchup. that ketchup bottle is empty.
Yeah,
thanks.
He was born in
sugar before 1947.
In 1947 in Hackney, London.
Yeah.
He has an estimated fortune of £760 million sterling, and he was ranked 55th in the Sunday Times Rich List of 2005.
Right.
So, admittedly, that was several years ago, but I figured I'd bring him up.
No, sugar operating system.
No. Is that really?
No, I made that up. But
oh, did you? I was going to believe you.
You don't know who he is either?
No.
Why do you have that item?
I don't know. How did he
make his money?
I don't know. I want to figure out more. So go to the slurpcast.com website. And
so you're making me do research on who he is so I can figure it out?
Well, there's an article attached to this. I just didn't read the article.
I see.
So
maybe he knows Clive.
He might know Clive Sinclair.
Yeah.
I bet you he's worked with him before.
No, but I'm never really sure where the sugar operating system of the one laptop per child came from. Maybe he invented that. I don't know.
Really?
Maybe. I'm just totally guessing. I have no idea.
These fries are really good, by the way.
Yeah.
If there's no garlic on them.
There is garlic. You can taste the garlic. Mm-hmm. All right. Because I flopped with that article, let me go to the next one.
Right.
Okay, so this is more of a conversation amongst the three of us.
Okay.
The question is, will Linux take over from Microsoft Windows? What?
That's my answer.
That's not really funny.
That's my answer.
What do you think?
Linux is ridiculous. It's totally disorganized. There's way too many versions of it. It's way too hard to install software on it.
Oh, you mean like the different versions, different flavors?
Of Linux, yes.
Right.
It's very difficult to install software on it, at least for different flavors and stuff. It's just crazy. The mainstream is never going to use that.
But you don't think that from where they were several years ago to where they are now?
It's getting worse. Isn't it getting more fragmented?
No, it's getting better.
Or everyone uses Ubuntu now, so...
Well, yeah, I use Ubuntu, and I use it for a lot of things, actually.
If Lean's Turnwald would force him to standardize it, it would be better.
Yeah.
It's all his fault. Yeah, we talked about this before. I didn't blame it all on
him. We probably have. You blame it on Linux? On Linus?
Lean's
Turnwald.
Turnwald.
Linux is pronounced Linux.
Right.
Yeah.
They actually have pictures of him lately, nowadays, that don't show him with beer in his hand being drunk. Because when I first started researching, my first friend into that recording,
he was that?
Many, 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 many years ago,
yeah.
About the way he pronounces Linux,
yeah.
Every picture you could find of him showed him with a big glass of beer in his hand looking drunk.
All right. So, Dad, what do you think? The question doesn't specify any time limits. It just simply says, will Linux overtake Windows?
Maybe it's a matter of application there. I was under the impression that Linux is heavily involved in server farms.
Yes.
So from that standpoint, you might say they've taken over that aspect. But from a personal standpoint, on the desktop?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know enough.
It's kind of more geared towards that, towards the desktop.
Well, actually, on the server farms, they often use a different variant of free Unix called FreeBSD, which is totally different historic roots as Linux, but kind of looks similar. But Esau Mike once told me reasons why ISPs tend to use FreeBSD instead of Linux, but I don't remember.
Really?
Yeah.
He doesn't listen to this show, though.
No.
Okay.
He better not.
Just checking.
He better not.
We go over and take somebody. Oh, that's your beer.
No, it's his, but he doesn't know.
My dad's drinking somebody else's beer.
Okay.
All right. Want me to throw another one into the mix?
Sure.
Okay. You guys have to. You have to retch, which means reach, really far back in history here to talk about this.
Okay.
I'm going to read the article. I don't know anything about this.
Okay.
This is Algol 58.
Okay.
Algol 58 is the first language in the Algol programming language family. It was an early compromise design soon superseded by Algol 60. Algol 58 introduced the fundamental notion of compound statement, but it was restricted to control flow only, and it was not tied to identifier scope.
Mm.
Yummy.
Yeah, by the time we reached level 58, Algol 1 would just had like...
All right.
Algol 1 was just really primitive, but good they got to 58 by now. You know, I never used
it. Well, by the time they got to 60,
yeah.
I don't know.
No.
You never used. What was significant about Algol at all?
I don't remember. I've heard about it, but I don't remember.
I think that it was developed mostly in Europe.
Okay.
And originally, the intent, as I understand it, was to be incorporate features of both Fortran and COBOL.
Oh, okay.
So it was an all-purpose, supposed to be an all-purpose language, and there were people were talking about Algol becoming the language back in the late 50s, early 60s.
Okay.
But it never happened.
Huh.
Well, okay.
It sounds like it was sort of going towards being a basic of sorts.
Mm-hmm. Huh. But they're both the engineering and business community common language. It never
caught
on to that extent.
IBM was pushing a language, if you remember, called PL1.
Yeah.
PL1 was supposed to be a combination of COBOL and Fortran as a business language. Right. The company I worked for at the time actually did switch over to PL1. They used it very heavily for a while.
But we were probably the syndrome.
Yeah, we were probably the only one.
At work.
And IBM allowed other companies, they didn't try to protect it, they wanted other companies to use it. So the word for PL1 compilers for other machines. So.
All right. Just going through my historical things here. All right, the last one that I'll talk about in terms of history was something I have a relatively small experience with, but it's interesting. The Apricot PC was Apricot Computer's first personal computer made for business use. It had two 3.5-inch floppy drives and a keyboard with an LCD display.
Hmm.
And I want to say
LCD display.
Yeah.
Back then.
Yeah.
Not LED. Did they have LCDs?
Said LCD.
I don't know the history of LCDs, but that sounds weird.
But wasn't it like an Apple II clone?
Wait, no, there were LCD calculators very early. Never mind. There were LCD calculators fairly early.
Okay.
I have vague memories of that one being an Apple II clone, and by using the name Apricot, it's using a fruity name. It kind of does sound like that.
Right.
Like it would have been.
It
I don't remember.
It wasn't a Mac clone, was it?
Oh, no, no. No, it would have been Apple II.
All right. I mean, like the very first Macs?
No, there were Apple II clones at one point.
Yeah.
And I bet it's going
You've
like
got a
well.
Bell and Howell.
Yes.
You got a Bell and Howell Apple II clone. That's...
No, mine is really made by Apple. It just was marketed by Bell and Howell.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But there were Apple II clones where companies just kind of looked at the Apple II and made their own similar, not exactly, but similar to it.
Okay.
Repcop may have been one of those.
All right. Hit me with a story.
Okay. Have you seen the Intel Rockstar ads that have this Indian guy that said, you know, other people that have rock stars or just play guitars and stuff like that, whereas our rock stars, like this guy, and they have this guy, Indian-looking guy, come out, they invented the USB bus.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever seen that?
Right, yeah.
Okay, did you know that the guy in that commercial is an actor? He's not the real one?
That doesn't
the real
surprise
one is,
me.
The real one is still alive and well.
Oh, really?
But those commercials use an actor.
Okay. Wow.
Well, Conan O'Brien had on a show the real one.
Okay.
Who would say he's still alive, still healthy, still articulate. There's no reason he couldn't have been in the commercial.
Okay.
And Conan interviews him. The guy's very funny, and he has him recreate the commercial later and stuff like
that.
Oh,
really?
So,
nice.
Yeah. So good at
SlurpCast. So why didn't they choose him?
I don't know. It's not clear, because he seems like he could have handled it just fine.
Okay.
But it's pretty funny. You go to SlurpCast.com. We'll have a link to that.
All right.
And then so I have a couple of Google stories. Both about Google mapping. First of all, Google is switching their map provider, maybe because of money, we're not really sure. But Google is getting rid of TeleAtlas and doing their own mappings or buying some of it from other databases and doing some of it their own. It's not really clear exactly what's going on with it.
All right.
But supposedly, if you look at Google Maps pages now, instead of seeing TeleAtlas, you'll sometimes see other logos where the map data is coming from and stuff.
So what are they buying? So the maps are then generated by these companies that own the satellites?
No, not necessarily. No, the just the mapping, you know, the actual streets, where all the streets go, the actual latitude and longitude of every street.
So are these companies... Are these are the companies that pay people to, like, drive around with special equipment and map stuff?
Yeah. Historically, yeah. Well, a lot of it starts with the government, because the goddamn government has a lot of mapping data that's digitized and stuff.
Okay.
And then there's companies that go through different neighborhoods and correct that and update it and add details to it. So.
And that would be these guys.
So TeleAtlas is one of those, but I'd say maybe they're charging too much or whatever.
Okay.
The Google's switching over to other providers and partly doing it there on their own.
Huh.
So,
well, they do their own street view mapping.
So. Yes, they do that themselves, yes. And then, and then the other Google Maps item, that you know, in certain cities, like San Francisco is a good example, when you start zooming in, just purely street view, not satellite view or anything, but just street view.
Mm-hmm.
And you zoom in, you suddenly make a little model of the buildings.
Right.
It depends on the neighborhood, but downtown San Francisco will certainly do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Google is giving out this free software called, I just lost my page, Google Building Maker, and they're inviting the public to submit little models of the buildings around them to be used in those maps. They can expand the scope of where they have those little models faster than having to pay someone to do it.
Yeah, so they're opening that up. What if you submit something that's totally fake?
Typically what they do is they have multiple people submit things and make sure they're similar, or they have people review it or something. I think you'd probably get caught if you did that.
Okay.
But maybe. Maybe you'd get away with it.
This is like TomTom's feature where, with your GPS, as you're driving around, if the GPS tells you something that's incorrect, you can hit a button that says, this is wrong, and you can kind of give a little gist of what's wrong about that particular thing that you're encountering on the map.
Okay.
And then when you get home, when you synchronize your GPS again with TomTom, that change or that incorrect part of the map goes back to TomTom. And
but
then
they'll review it.
And then they review it, and they analyze it, and then they correct it. But just because they have that feature, it means their maps are constantly being updated and changed.
Okay.
And eventually those changes make it into the global map that we all pay for.
But wouldn't you rather have it just be accurate in the first place and you don't have to go through that?
Yeah,
sure. It'd be annoying, kind of annoying that you had to go through that process.
Well, I was taken to a dead-end street once where it thought you could just go straight through.
Well,
clearly wrong.
In England, you would have.
What do you mean I would have?
Because in England, there's a lot of cases of people believing, they call it sat-nav over there, but in England there's just a lot of articles about people believing their sat-nav so much that they continued driving fell into a river or something, you know.
Yeah.
So that's why I say in England,
just keep going.
You just obey what your GPS unit says. You don't worry about the real world. And how old-fashioned to worry about the real world?
You know? Terrible.
That's a TV show. You know?
What's the status of the Google's announced intention to scan everything that's been printed?
Yeah, the book settlement.
There's
some
problems, right?
Still a lot of legal things. Because Google started out that project by simply doing it. They just went around to libraries that would cooperate with them and borrowed all the books and simply started scanning them. Obviously, they got sued because it's illegal to sit around scanning other people's books and publishing to the web. So there's this big class action lawsuit. And there's a settlement right now that Google is trying to get through, but it's not at all clear if it will. A lot of people are opposing it, where Google will have the rights to continue doing that, at least in the United States. They'll have the rights to continue doing that. And then if the book is still a viable commercial book, they can put little pieces of it online, but not let people read it online or download it or anything, unless they make a deal with the author. But if it's if it's totally out of copyright, then they will simply have it online, let people read it, right? And if it's an orphan book, which means that it's still within the copyright scope, but the author has been lost, nobody knows how to contact the author, then that's the gist of the settlement, is that Google will nevertheless be allowed to let people download it and charge for it. Assuming it's out of, in other words, it's out of print. If it's orphan and out of print, so the only possible way to get it is this project. Google will allow people to download it and maybe charge for it and keep some of the money in reserve, so in case the author suddenly shows up, you can pay them for the use of it. So it's very controversial because only Google has the right to kind of do this because it's part of a lawsuit settlement. So a lot of people are fighting it.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
You think this is why Microsoft stopped doing it?
Were they scanning books also?
Yeah, they were going to libraries and scanning in books from libraries. They had a bunch of different people, This isn't new. Mm-hmm. This whole idea behind scanning books in, and Microsoft, like Google, started doing this in libraries without actually asking anybody. Or
probably got sued also.
Probably, but and then they stopped, and nobody really knows why they just stopped.
Okay. Their lawyers may not have thought of it.
Probably.
Too much liability.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys know what you're opening yourselves up for. And
right.
Now, Microsoft was doing this way before Google was doing it, though.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think this is before Google was even around.
Yeah, I don't remember. Before Google was around?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What? There was a time?
Yes.
Before Google was around? But what did people do to entertain themselves while walking 5 miles uphill in the snow on the way to school if there was no Google?
Yeah,
you remember walking 5 miles uphill in the snow to school?
Oh, yeah.
And you remember also, you can confirm my memory, that on the way home from school, the 5 miles, it was still uphill.
Yeah.
You remember that was uphill in both directions, right?
Absolutely.
Now, do you know how that works? Do you have any memory at all about technically how that's possible or how that would work?
I usually made a stop at the soda shop, so like
right. Yeah, you didn't pay attention.
Soda shop?
Yeah, on the way home.
So it didn't. It was all relic. You didn't care.
No.
Yeah.
There you go. Thank you.
Okay. Let's see.
You want me to go?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. So, looking through my PC, which I've just now, Mark, revitalized.
Okay.
I started running out of hard drive space and decided I needed to sort of prioritize the applications that I have installed.
Okay.
So out of the applications that I have installed, a few of them, you know, some of them I could definitely get rid of and some of them I wanted to keep. In doing this, I built a list of what I consider to be the most important applications that I have installed.
Okay.
You can share those as well as Dad. You can share yours, too. These are the applications that not only do we use often, but are the most productive to whatever goal we have when using them.
Okay.
Whether they be money management tools or utilities that we use to clean up the disk or what have you.
Okay.
My list contains a few, and these are new applications. Nero 9 Reloaded.
Nero what?
Nero 9.
Nero. Oh,
Niner.
That's
sorry. Better,
yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. Nero 9 Reloaded
okay.
is one. Trillion Astra is another. WinRAR 64 and 32-bit. And then what I use more often because it's free than Trillion is Digsby.
Okay.
So those are pretty...
Yeah, mine would be Digsby, Outlook, Microsoft Office, but primarily Outlook and Word.
All right. You use Word?
I use Word all the time, yeah.
Google Docs.
No.
Okay.
And then Paperport. I use fairly often.
Okay.
And what's the other? Oh, Evernote.
Okay, I know about that.
Yeah, those are the ones I mainly spend my time in, I guess.
What is Paperport?
It's a document management system for scanning things into PDF files, editing PDF files, moving pages around with PDF files and stuff like that, cleaning them up, things like that.
Okay.
Just a folder management system based around PDF files and things like that.
Cool.
Okay.
What about you, Dad?
Well, I mostly make use of Word and Outlook and money.
Okay.
I'd be dead without money.
Really?
Yeah, I use it for scheduling as well as emails and contacts. And I think that money has some really nice management features that I rely on heavily to keep myself out of trouble. And then, of course, the application I have with my Timex Data Link watch.
Oh, that's right.
Which also keeps me out of trouble.
This is cool.
But this is a whole story in itself, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
Why don't you tell about that?
This actually comes out of something that Mark got me hooked on.
Right.
Which this comes from Microsoft has often been very poor at marketing their initiatives. they sometimes join forces with other companies and then come out with devices that they don't market well.
Good.
One of their first joint ventures was with Motorola when they did the pager watch.
Oh, right.
You remember that?
Didn't I have one?
Yes, you had one, and I had one.
Yeah.
It was a pager watch that you could sign up for this service that would allow you to have people could call a number, and it would page your watch.
Mm-hmm.
And the watch
numeric
would vibrate.
Numeric only. Right?
Yeah. Was that Motorola and Timex, or was Microsoft a part of that?
Remember Timex?
Maybe Microsoft was not
remember.
A part of that.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Okay. So then they came out with their data link watches.
Mm-hmm.
Microsoft partnered with Timex on their data link line. Basically, they're...
That's not the one that flashed on the screen, is it?
Yes.
That is that one. We should describe that.
So it had an eye in the watch, and the watch would actually... You installed special software to send contact information, calendar events, and phone numbers and stuff into the watch. But the way that you got it in was not by any cables or anything like that. You ran this software that would then draw a few lines on the screen that would flicker.
Right.
You'd hold the watch with this electronic eye that was a circular thing in the middle of the face or above at the top of the face. You'd hold up the watch parallel to the monitor, and it would literally read in the contact information based on the flickering.
Right.
And then Mark Bernay figured out how that was working.
Kind of, yeah. I forget. It's so long ago, but I forget.
He figured out it didn't matter how you held the watch. It was all based on
just the timing
light
of the
flickering.
And it wouldn't work on notebooks. It wouldn't work on
LCD.
Any flat panel screens. It would only work on real CRTs.
Right.
Because real CRTs were faster.
And as time went on, more and more people started using laptops.
Right.
So I figured Timex or Microsoft's answer to that
was
a USB LED flickered at the same rate that the CRT
was. That's right.
Which
proved that it had nothing to do with all the lines on the screen.
Right.
It was just the flickering, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but then along came the, as you say, the preponderance of LCD screens, and folks like me discovered the watch would no longer work.
Right.
Okay.
Forcing a lot of people to go looking for the cable with the LED at the end, and they've dried up.
Okay.
Can't find them anymore.
Right.
So in my case, I had to buy a new watch.
Okay.
With a USB connection to the computer, which frankly is a pain in the butt.
Yep. You can say ass.
I much prefer the old CRT method.
I know.
Much simpler to and quicker.
You'd go back to that other watch.
I'd go back in a minute.
If you could find the LED plug.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like if we could find somebody who had the USB port.
Was it
LED?
USB or serial?
It was USB.
Really?
They had a USB one, and you plugged it in, and just, little line, the cable came out, and at the end, it was a simple one light LED, and you would simply just, like, the software, it came with drivers, and you would then, use that.
But those watches were really ugly. I don't know why.
I got one right now.
That's not one of those.
Yes, it is, but it's the USB version.
This is the USB version.
But those old ones with the photo cell and stuff. There's something very ugly about those, I remember.
Looked about the same, actually.
Yeah.
Okay. I much prefer it.
Yeah. Okay. Where did the USB port plug in on that one?
It's just over here on the side.
I just kind of... it's actually a hole.
And it's awkward. Frankly, you got to take the watch off your wrist in order to do it. Which is a pain.
Yeah. Okay.
Not a good solution. It's the only solution that works, but it's not a good one.
Yeah, the one I have right now, downloads by radio. It listens to subcarrier FM stations and downloads by radio, but only certain data.
And again, it wasn't advertised well.
Right.
So as a result, Microsoft stopped making them.
Yeah.
These are the spot watch technology. But ours does not... One of the things my dad likes about this watch is that all the phone numbers of your contacts go into the watch. Ours never handled that.
Right. Microsoft was always talking about adding that as a feature later, but never did.
Okay.
Ours does do calendar.
Yeah.
Ours will automatically download calendar changes, but not...
Contact data?
Not contacts.
Not contacts.
Doesn't do to-dos. Ours just does calendar only.
Right. Calendar and email and phones.
That's what you do.
And
addresses. Yeah.
Okay. ERs won't do that.
Nope. Yeah.
But on the other hand, we carry iPhones, so who cares? You know?
Yeah.
I don't really want my watch to do that stuff anyway nowadays, right. So I don't even care.
But I'm not in danger of losing this.
That's true.
Right.
Which is why I like the wristwatch application.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah, you caught on to that pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
When Mark and I were using it.
Yeah.
My dad caught on.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool. Speaking of little devices, you know, there's been applications for, like iPhone applications for Wikipedia. There's at least two of them that I know of that let you download almost the entire Wikipedia into your phone for offline use of that whole idea. So the company has now come out with a little $100 standalone box that's all it does is it just has a copy of Wikipedia built in. And everyone thinks that's too expensive. And yet if you think 10 or 20 years ago, what a miracle it would be, you could have something as comprehensive as Encyclopedia Britannica for $100 in your hand. How that would be a miracle. But everyone nowadays says, I can just go on the web. Why would I spend $100 on that?
Exactly.
You know, so it's just kind of funny.
Why would I want to carry around a box when I can just use my phone to get online?
Yeah, or whatever. Yeah. Or I say, in my opinion, just you can use your phone to download the whole thing into the phone. So anyway. So, there's rumors, very strong rumors now, that Apple really is losing. Apple's going to give the iPhone to other companies besides AT&T shortly.
Okay.
There's really strong rumors about that, including AT&T officials talking about it.
Okay.
But at the same time, Verizon is still talking about Android phones. Verizon is doing essentially the kind of ads I used to like to do about don't buy iPhones, except they're not quite saying that, but they're doing anti-iPhone ads. And
we're also now seeing devices like iTouch and iPods come out with just the Android OS.
Yeah. Right.
And some Android applications written
that are not a phone.
That are not a phone.
Okay.
And I forget who it is. Arcos has a device.
Okay.
And Creative. Have the device? I think it is Creative. That allow you to use Android applications on their iPod-like devices.
Is the screen the same dimensions as an Android phone to keep the application simple?
I think they are. It must be the same size.
Okay.
Maybe a little bit bigger. The Arcos device looks very much like a Touch.
Okay.
But it's supposed to be getting raves. People seem to like it.
Mm-hmm.
It has a GPS built in.
Okay.
An accelerometer. I forget, it's like the Arcos 5 is what it's called. Like
an
internet tablet is what they say.
Okay.
So that's cool. I'm glad to see that there's an OS that's kind of proliferating to various different devices.
Okay. Why don't you just throw in a phone modem and have it be a phone, though? What's the problem?
Yeah, interesting.
So. Anyway.
Okay. Do we move on to...
You think it's time to start discussing why the iPhone is the best phone and BlackBerry's, Android, Windows Mobile, all that, just really stupid phones that just aren't worthwhile in the real world, just aren't very useful?
Sure.
Because of all the things they can't do?
Sure. Let's start talking about that, Mark.
Okay.
Now we get fun. Now this is the fun time here.
It's not fun. It's very important.
It's the pornographic.
It's very important that people listen to this
of the show
and don't make a mistake and get
the wrong
phone.
Where we all take off our clothes and compare applications.
Right. Well, the first one is certainly like that. There's Virtual Kelly, the real virtual girl.
The real virtual girl?
Yes.
How is that possible?
Well, what you can do is you can touch her body anywhere and she'll respond to you.
Okay. What's that picture there, Mark?
That's Kelly. That's her.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And she responds differently to touching her in different places.
Really?
Just like a real person.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so she's wearing only a bikini just the way you like her. Now, this application has been approved by the Apple App Store.
Nice.
So don't complain that there's anything wrong with this application.
Because Apple approved it. They said it was fine.
This was a family show.
No, it never was. It never was.
And you better play with her or she'll get bored.
Really?
Yeah.
She gets bored?
She has more than 50 responses. She'll never bore you or your friends.
I'd probably get bored with her the first 5 minutes.
She'll impress your friends.
She will?
Yes.
So if I have friends...
Anyway, remember, only on iPhone can you get this application. Don't think you can get it on
what if
any
I don't
platform.
Want her to impress my friends? What if I just want her to impress me
then
only?
Just don't show them.
Oh. Well, here, let my dad read that. Okay. It's important that my dad gets a yes. chance to...
Right, right. Because he doesn't have an iPhone. He doesn't understand why he should get one. Yeah. Okay. So
you can touch her, and she responds.
All right.
Yes.
I figured I'd share that with you.
All right.
Yeah?
That's very good.
I can install it. If you want to see it, I can install it.
Yeah.
Hey, this one's kind of weird. It's called Cry Translator, and it's $30.
What?
Which is very high for an iPhone
app. That's huge. Yes. Yeah, that's
I know.
Really expensive.
I bet it'll drop quickly. I didn't even check, actually, whether it dropped in the meantime. I printed this off a while ago. But what it does is you set it down next to your baby, and it listens into the baby crying, and it translates it for you on the screen about what it is that the baby wants.
For $30?
Yeah, so it's probably bullshit, bullshit, bullshit.
It is bullshit.
And it's $30, yeah. But only on iPhone can you get that.
Nice. Yeah, my BlackBerry doesn't have anything like that.
Okay. Now, you know, there's all these movements lately to not have people text while driving?
I have movements all the time.
Really?
Oh,
there's apps for that. But anyway, I haven't seen yet. I want one where you aim the camera in the toilet and let it see your movement, and it'll analyze it and talk about it.
That's great.
I haven't seen one of those.
That's wonderful.
I haven't seen any of those
with
yet.
A camera. You take a picture of it, and the software analyzes it.
Yeah, I literally like that. But
you've been eating corn.
Yes, exactly. But anyway, so back to drivers. Apple thinks that's all nonsense, that you should, it's okay to distract drivers, because they allow through two different, very similar apps. One's called Hoax Factory, the toolkit to annoy, confuse, aggravate, or worry people.
Okay.
And the other one's called Prankster Kit, which also lets you annoy, confuse, aggravate, or worry people. And the category, both applications have a category of when driving.
When driving?
Yes.
And that's because
when driving is really the best time to annoy, confuse, aggravate, or worry people, isn't it? You
know, yeah.
Especially the driver.
Great.
But Apple approved this, so it must be true. Okay. And you can't do it on BlackBerry.
And it causes car accidents.
Yeah.
There's a lawsuit waiting to happen.
Right.
There's an app for that.
Yeah. How about Chicken Kazoo? It's a kazoo application, but it's a picture of a chicken, and you touch the eggs to adjust the notes in the kazoo.
Boring.
What?
Boring.
Okay, how about this
one? That was horrible.
How about Sexy Senior Citizens? There's two different apps. There's one called Sexy Grandmas.
Yeah.
One called Sexy Grandpas. And, no, but it's not what you think. It just has a normal picture of the old person.
Yeah.
You know. But then it's a scratch-and-sniff application where you start scratching on the screen and it reveals the picture behind that picture of them. And what it reveals is a picture of what they look like wearing a swimsuit or bikini or something when they were like 20-ish or something. Except it's obviously not the right person because they didn't used to dress that way. Because when you scratch it off and go to the young person wearing the bathing suit, their hair is all wrong, the bathing suit's all wrong, so it's clearly not the same people. But they just found people who kind of look vaguely like the senior citizen.
Fashion snip.
Yeah, so... Anyway, those are very good.
Yeah. I've only got two.
Yeah. I'm not done yet.
Oh, okay.
I'm not done yet.
I'm sorry, Mark.
There's a lot of reasons to prefer the iPhone, Wes. Actually, I am done. Okay. Then I have one that I think... This is just a standard web page.
Okay.
But it desperately needs to be made into an iPhone app.
Okay.
It's called Hot Chicks Plunging Their Toilets. Yeah, it's a bunch of pictures of just housewife-looking people...
So did somebody go around to various different women's homes?
It looks like that.
And they just like took pictures of these.
It certainly looks like that.
That's crazy.
Website. Yeah, but I really want that on my iPhone though, without having to go through the web browser to do it.
Only if it's not static. So, only if like every week you download new images.
Right.
Like,
well, the website does.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, that's all. So those are all the reasons you should prefer the iPhone. Have we convinced you, Wes's dad? Have we convinced you to get an iPhone now?
No.
You don't want an iPhone?
No.
No. I don't understand.
He said that vehemently. He does not want an iPhone.
Huh.
All right,
that's very interesting. Huh.
I don't want to be bothered.
Yeah.
My jokes are not my apps are not jokes.
Okay.
I got serious apps here.
Oh, that's right. You have to come up with a serious app. Don't
the one worry. The one serious app that I got that I find very interesting,
right.
It's not that useful, but it's kind of fun,
okay.
Is called NetScan. Have you heard of NetScan?
There's ones like it. I maybe not that one. I have
seen. So NetScan, basically, if you're in somebody's Wi-Fi wireless network, you run NetScan. NetScan goes out using a standard range of URL or IP addresses. It scans through all the different IP addresses, guessing, incrementally going up from 192.168.0 or 192.168.1.1.
Maybe. It doesn't have to be that.
Right.
Maybe,
yeah. And you can set these. You can set the range, so you don't have to follow the standard. But what it does is it basically goes out and it pings anything that might be at those IP addresses, and whatever results it gets back, it then figures out in its database what that device is and displays to you, essentially, when it's done, all of the people that are connected to your wireless network, and if it can, what devices those are, including MAC addresses of those devices and other pieces of information that you might like want to know. It also has a very good way of getting into firewalls.
Okay.
It takes a lot more time for it to scan those particular devices. But the information that comes back are things like if you can SSH into it, if you can Telnet, if you can FTP. Brings back just a whole slew of information about the devices that are connected. And I use it in my network, even though I've got MAC filtering turned on, so only the MAC addresses of the devices that are on my network are allowed. Like, it has a database, my router, or wireless access point, of all the MAC addresses that I allow access to my my wireless.
And the word MAC there has nothing to do with Macintoshes.
Nor does it have to do with what we're eating tonight.
Right. What does it stand for? Media access something? I forget what a MAC address stands for. Anyway, I have a similar app called iNet, I-N-E-T. I really don't remember why I chose that one over the other one.
Okay.
Just maybe the first one I ran into. But that does the same functions.
Okay.
And what do I use a lot lately? Everyone loves this Twitter app called Tweety 2.
I was going to do that one.
Go ahead. And I'll criticize you and tell you why it's so stupid.
So Tweety 2 does not have notifications, which it needed, and I thought that's what it would have. That's my major disappointment with it.
Right.
But a lot of the other features that Tweety 2 has, I wanted Tweety 1 to have, which is the fact that it stores and caches
your
history.
Yes, that's good, yeah.
I like that.
Have you noticed, how many people do you follow?
About 40 people.
Maybe that's why you don't notice it that much. But online, the problem with Tweety 2, the same as Tweety, the same as most Twitter apps, is they will only bring in a couple of hours worth of tweets.
Yeah.
So if I haven't run it for a while, Tweety 2 for a while, and then start it up, it'll bring in only the last hour and a half's worth of tweets.
Okay.
And then there's a big gap of several hours.
See, I don't have that problem.
Because you're not following so many people.
I'm not following that many people. But
Anyway, I just don't understand that. That was a problem with Tweety 1, and they've never fixed it. And I just don't understand. That's still the main reason I still use Simply Tweet.
Okay.
Because it'll go back days if it has to fill in any gaps. But Tweety 2 is very good for offline use.
Now it is, it does have the radar thing where you can find out who's tweeting in your geographic location.
But the serious problem with that, if you do a local search, it'll bring up a bunch of people.
Right.
Then if you say, I want to see who's talking about iPhones locally, it will only take the ones that are already brought in.
Oh, really?
And filter them by iPhone, and you might get only one or two.
Okay.
Whereas Simply Tweet, you can say, I want iPhone conversations within so many miles, and it will go out.
Good.
And it'll go out to the entire public stream and bring in 100 people in your neighborhood talking about iPhones or something.
Okay.
So I think Tweety 2 is just really stupid in that, too, actually.
Well, that's it for me.
Okay.
That's it for me.
Yeah, what have I used a lot lately? Did we talk about Photo Forge last time? Photoshop came out with something?
Yes, we did talk about that in the last show.
Okay. Did we ever talk about Best Camera?
Best Camera?
Yeah, Best Camera is not really that great an application. I really like the concept. I like the word Best Camera and why it's called that more than I care about the application itself. Because this is also my opinion about ebook readers and stuff like that. A photographer just has an iPhone and uses the iPhone a lot for his photography.
Yeah.
Wrote a book called The Best Camera is the iPhone. And the reason is, it's the camera that's with you.
Right.
The best camera is one you actually have in your pocket, and you might not have anything else with you at the time. So he has an application also that has some effects and some different things that, you know. But I like the concept, because I was talking about Barnes & Noble and Kindle have applications for the iPhone. I consider them the best ebook readers because they're with you. You don't have to carry a separate device, right?
All right.
So anyway.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you still using Audacity?
I use Audacity from time to time, yeah.
That's the shareware, that's the free shareware one?
Yeah.
Okay. For Windows and Mac, or just
both? Windows and Mac and Unix.
And Linux.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
What's your best Craigslist iPhone application?
I don't have one loaded right now, so I'm not even sure. I own one, which I would load that one just because I own it, but I think it's one you've talked about before.
Craigslist Mobile.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
It's the Bizzle for my Nizzle.
Okay. But what does that mean?
It means it's the bomb for your mom. It means it's really good.
Oh. Why would you want to bomb your mom and that would mean really good? You kids of today.
Oh, us
you need
kids.
To walk 5 miles through the snow to school for a while.
You forget.
We'll see how you talk.
I did. I walked 5 miles. I walked more than 5 miles.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So I think we're done.
Yes. Okay.
We've been going on for hours.
Okay.
I'm kidding. Not hours. Okay. But
so
anyway,
we have to rate the restaurant and stuff. So
yeah, we should rate the restaurant. Hotel Mac.
Yeah.
What do you
think?
It's good.
We had very good hamburgers.
We had standard. We didn't have anything opulent from the menu. We had something that was pretty relatively easy.
What I had is really almost identical to this sports bar across the street from the Metreon.
Okay.
There's a sports-oriented bar that also has hamburgers and garlic fries.
Okay.
And avocados and stuff, very much like this. Okay, so it seems about the same.
Seems pretty good.
Yeah.
So, okay, you rated highly. What do you
think? I rated highly.
Yeah? It's good. The garlic fries are awesome. I know my breath is going to be stinking for the next 2 days.
Yeah, I'm not going to kiss you.
No, I'm glad. I'm glad you won't, yeah.
Right.
I appreciate that. My burger was pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah, I had it well done. I could have gone with a more of a medium well done, but anyway, it was pretty slamming, pretty good stuff.
This is your dad's here. We were talked about the guy on Twitter, was shit my dad says or whatever.
No,
we talked about
you want to talk about that?
Because I check storecast.com because I forget the exact Twitter drive, but there's this guy who's like 30, and he moved back in with his father. And his father obviously doesn't really like him being there that much.
Kind of like me.
And what the guy does, he never tweets anything he's personally doing. He just tweets funny things that his dad says. And his dad says really hilarious things about why are you still here, sort of a vein, and you kids of today, sort of a vein. But in just words in very funny ways, and the guy tweets those and stuff.
So the kid sends these messages out for people that follow him.
Huh. Yeah.
And some of the stuff that comes back is like, what I can't remember. Yeah. There's one about the hot water.
I have a couple of my favorites. Yeah, he did one something like, yes, I do understand. Yes, I know that if I turn the hot water on in the kitchen while you're taking your shower, your water will get cold. I do fully understand that, but I don't care.
You know. That's funny.
And then there's the one of
What about the two squirrels?
Let me get that one right. I have that my favorite.
You kids of today.
Yeah. I can tell you that one. I can quote that one accurately. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Does anyone your age know how to comb their fucking hair? It looks like two squirrels crawled on their head and started fucking.
So his dad's classic.
Yeah,
dad's
fucking classic. Radio Shack. It's a wonder they even know how to use the bathroom and don't just walk around all day with shit in their head. They're just things his dad says, yeah. Oh, it is Shit My Dad Says. This is Twitter name.
That's his Twitter name?
Yes.
Shit My Dad
Says. So just follow
says.
Him. He only does one every couple of days, unfortunately. But
all right. Yeah, I'll have to follow him because I'm not, and I think it's time I do. Anyway. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so for anybody who's interested, we want to point out that we have a blog on the site. So if we get some statistical fact incorrect, we encourage you to come
you
to the
comment,
site.
Sure.
Make a comment. We'll get notified and be able to respond appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
That's at www.slurpcast.com.
Right.
Also, buttgas.com.
That's not pointed. I own that. I don't think it's pointed to this. I forget.
Okay.
Shitcast.com.
Shitcast.com is also forwarded to it.
Yeah, which I have in reserve for the concept of doing a podcast in the bathroom from two adjacent stalls, and we yell under the stalls.
We're going to go to restaurant bathrooms and do another podcast in each of the restaurants that we go to, and be on the other side.
Wes's dad is kind of looking at his money. I don't know. what's wrong, sir? Are you?
Froosh.
You're okay, gentlemen. Some dessert or coffee or anything? Or
No, we're
no,
okay.
Thank
you.
Yeah. Whenever you're ready, don't hurry.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
So that's it.
Yeah.
Again, thanks for being part of the show.
Are you still open for donations to the foundation?
No. If you have a lot, we don't want to bother with little dollars or something.
We were thinking about
maybe a sizable donation.
Yes,
make it worthwhile.
Yeah. We were thinking about approaching the restaurants that we go to, but we didn't really come up with any kind of.
Well, how about the listeners?
The listeners.
Pay?
Huh?
The listeners
there's
have
only,
money?
You only have two.
It's gotta be voluntary.
Yeah, I know.
We only have two listeners.
We got
two listeners. You have to understand.
Well, hopefully they're well healed.
Right.
No, we corrupt them every week.
Right.
Or every month.
Right.
Anyway. All right, thanks for listening to the show.